Start out tonight in John 14, and then go to Psalm 90, so you can look in both of those scriptures. But I want to read in John 14 to begin tonight. John chapter 14, and we're scaled down tonight, and I felt led to go away from our series and just look at this chapter and Psalm 90. It says in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God," Jesus said, "believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Now, I want you to notice in verse 4, it says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." That word way. And then verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Again, the way. And Jesus, verse 6, saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, I went down to Florida, and all I have to do, because I have a GPS, is type in where I'm going, and boom, the GPS takes me right there to Florida, and I get to my destination. And you know, we don't know where heaven is. We know it's in the north. We know it's beyond our atmosphere. It's beyond outer space. It's many, 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 many light years away, but we don't have to know exactly where heaven is. It's beyond the North Star. It's way up north. We don't have to know exactly where heaven is. It is there, and Jesus, if we know him as our Savior, we're going to go to heaven. And you don't need to know the way if you know the Lord as your Savior. And so if you have committed yourself to Jesus to be your personal Savior, then you know you're going to heaven. I was talking to Gabby today, who I led to the Lord, and I asked her that second question. I said, "Gabby, if you died today and you stood before God, and he said, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?' what would you say?" And I was so delighted to hear her say that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I know I'm going to heaven. And I say, Jesus said, you can know that. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" Well, look at verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not just a prophet. I'm not just a great teacher. When you hear my words, you're hearing the words of God. And just like you know God is God, because he was talking to Jewish people, they knew the God of Israel. He said, "I am God. I am equal with the Father." And so if you believe in God, that he is God, believe in me. And he said, don't be troubled, he said, because, and here's the reason why you don't need to be troubled. Verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is in heaven preparing a place there for us, and that we have a mansion on the golden street? There's one golden street, and it's prepared. That there are people that are dying and going there, and there's a lot of life going on in heaven right now. We're down here struggling. We're down here in this world. And in the world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. I know tonight you've got tribulation. Brother Steve is wincing in pain right now tonight. He's got it. My wife is over in the hospital facing surgery. Brenda has a loved one that passed, and her family's facing that. My mother has Bernie Wells, her good friend, that passed away, and her husband is left now. But I'm saying, in the world, Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. But in heaven, it's great. In heaven, they're having a wonderful time up there. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, because if you have believed in me and you put your faith in me as your Savior, then you can know you have a mansion there. You have a place there. And there's going to be no more suffering, no more death or sickness. And he says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Boy, I thank God about the exciting things of Donald Trump and what he had to say. But I thank God a whole lot more that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when he comes back, that the first thing he's going to do is send angels to come and we'll meet him in the air and we'll be with him forever. But you say, what if I die before he comes back? Well, guess what? He's still going to send angels for you. As soon as you die, you'll see your body lying there if you're a saved person, and the angels will come and take you through the atmosphere right to your home and deliver you in your home in the third heaven. It's rent free. It's a beautiful place. And that is what we can look forward to. That's 2 Corinthians 5, absent from the body and present with the Lord. But even though that's true, this evening, I want to preach on a truth that once you know you're going to heaven, there will be a time for you to serve God on this earth. People ask me, how are you doing? I say, gloriously in this mortal body. I said it today. People kind of look at me when I say that. You're going to have a time in your mortal body. And your mortal body can give you pain, like my wife has gone through, excruciating pain in her body that she has gone through. Thank God he gave her relief from that in the hospital. But you're gonna have a time to serve God in your mortal body. I don't know how long it will be. You don't know how long it will be. But we know that we're going to get to that destination where we're not going to have any pain, any sickness. And today I'm preaching on the way. The way to heaven, in the sense of not being saved, but the way God is going to lead you from the time you're saved until you actually arrive at your home in heaven. And I'm talking to you tonight on how you can find the right pathway to take until you arrive safely at home in heaven. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is day by day is the way. Day by day is the way. And we're going to go back to Psalm 90. I want to say three things about that from Psalm 90. Day by day is the way for you to travel to heaven. By the way, you're a pilgrim. And a pilgrim is somebody that's going on a journey to get to a destination. The destination is the heavenly city of the New Jerusalem. I'm a pilgrim. And you're also a foreigner. This world is really not your home. If you feel at home in this world, something is wrong. You shouldn't feel at home in this world. Your home is in heaven. You know, my mother said, sometimes she'll say, I want to go home. And she'll say that. And I know what she's saying. She's saying that home that she had in 1957 that my father had built. And I remember him building that home. I remember going there as that home was being built and moving into that home in 1957. And my mother lived there steadily until 2022 when my father passed and then we helped her. And she'll say that. But that's really not her home. And that's not her home. And God has kind of uprooted her from that home. And wherever you are now, it's temporary. Wherever I am now, it's temporary. Our home is permanent in heaven. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the way to get there as a pilgrim. The way to get there as a foreigner in this world. And how you need to live your life to get there. And I want to say three things. Number one, your way is measured by God in the briefness of years. Psalm 90, God lets you know about the briefness of your time in this world. Here's what it says about God. It says, the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. It says to God, 1,000 years are just as yesterday, Tuesday, was to God. He measures his life not in years, because God is eternal and there's no changing of God. Now you and I, do you know you have an expiration date? Sometimes we don't think about that. You think about food. How many of you have had food and it went beyond its expiration date? Yeah. I just had that with some vegetables. I had put some vegetables aside, and even though they were in a cool place, they stunk. And you know what that said? They've gone beyond their expiration date, and I had to throw them away. I hate to throw away food. But you know what? You have an expiration date. And sometimes we forget that as we live in these mortal bodies, that time for us is limited in terms of years, and we have an expiration date. And the Bible says this, it says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Psalm 90, verse 9. You know what a tale that is told is? That's your obituary. How many have ever read an obituary? It's something, your whole life can be summed up in just a paragraph, an obituary. And you know, sometimes I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch obituaries, people's lives. And famous people, you know, just passed away. The Oscar-winning actor, what was that guy's name that just passed away? He was about 91 years old. Gene Hackman. And I was watching his obituary, you know, just talking about his life. And that's basically what your life is going to boil down to, an obituary. And it's just temporary. Our time here is temporary. And so it says that that's what our lives are. It's like an obituary. And God measures your time here on earth, not like God. He's eternal. You're given years. And you're given an expiration date. How many of you know your birthday? Yeah, you do. I know you know your birthday. You love it when we sing happy birthday. How many of you know your death day? But you got one. Just as sure as January 12, 1950 is my birthday, I've got a death day. It's my expiration date. Unless Jesus comes first. And we need to remember that this world is not our home, and God measures your life and my life in terms of years. And you know what? I've been through a lot of things with my wife. We've been married over 50 years. Our 50th anniversary is in the rearview mirror. I remember when she had a miscarriage and had a DNC and I couldn't be with her. And I remember praying for her that the Lord would be with her. And I was telling her that tonight. I said, remember that DNC you had after the miscarriage? And I couldn't be with you at that time. And you had to go in and they had to do that procedure. And you wanted me with you. I was there in the hospital, but I couldn't be with her. And, you know, I couldn't be with her when they took her in an ambulance recently and went an hour to Stroudsburg to get tested with another MRI, or second MRI. And you know what? I'm reminded in all of these things that there's a scripture my wife had in the Psalms called, whom have I in heaven but thee? And on earth there's none I desire beside thee. Any relationship you have, husband, wife, it's temporary. It's temporary. Because this life is temporary. And the one that we need to realize that's eternal is God. And we need to cultivate a relationship to God. I am convinced we spend far too much time being distracted from God by a lot of other things. And being distracted from what God wants for our life. And I'm just saying that there is an expiration date on your life. And so since your life is brief and is measured in terms of years, you should not waste any time. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I wonder, what are the evil days? That's when you get so old that your body ain't what it used to be. Now, I'm just saying that those evil days come. And they come for people, and we have to realize it. Brother Joe, you preached about the great men of God. Great men of God. John R. Rice, I think, was one of them. Do you know how John R. Rice ended? He was standing in the pulpit preaching. He still had his pajamas on. They had to get his suit on, and he urinated in the pulpit because he lost it. He lost it. Great man of God. I'm just saying that you have an expiration date. Brother Hiles went in for surgery. It was heart surgery, and he never came out of that surgery. You have an expiration date. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, now is the time to serve God while you have your health. Now is the time to serve God while you have your strength. Because it's not always going to be that way. Your body is going to be aged. I have an aged mother living with me right now. My mother is not what she used to be. I remember my mother in her prime, and man, it was such a blessing. But now my mother, she needs a lot of care. And she can do very limited things compared to... Now, thank God she still loves the Lord. She still praises God. She prays. But she can't do everything she could do. And so the Bible says, since God puts an expiration date on you and your life is measured in terms of finite years, that serve God now in the days when you have your youth, you have your strength. And so I'm just saying that is so important to do that. And so are you a young person? What's a young person? Are you a young person? Don't raise your hand. But if you're a young person, serve God right now. Are you in your, what do they say? Your 40s are the old age of youth. The 40s are the old age of youth. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're in your 40s. But that's the old age of youth. But it could be the youth of old age in your 40s. And then your 50s. Serve God now in your 40s. Serve God now in your 50s. Do it now. You know what? I am so glad that as a young man in his late teens and 20s, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I served him. And I gave the gospel. And we baptized people. And we planted this church. There was a time when if I left the church... We had just a bunch of babies in the church sucking their thumbs, and they were so little. Now in the church, we have some mature serving saints that can serve God. And thank God for that. I'm just saying serve God now, and you won't regret it later on. I am so glad that I serve God through the years in my younger years. So now in my older years, I'm going to reap that benefit. Listen, what you do now for God, it'll never be wasted. It'll never be wasted. If you're steadfast, unmovable, abounding, always in the work of the Lord, it won't be in vain. You know, I gave the gospel to a guy today. His name was Adam. And he was on the phone. And Adam, as I asked him the two spiritual questions, I went through the gospel with him. He said, what you just did for me is worth more to me than $1 million. He said, this was the greatest thing that you did for me. And he said, you made it so clear. You made it so understandable. Listen, I can do that. I can do that. And I want to do it now. I don't want to wait till I can't do it anymore, till something happens to me. And we need to remember our mortality and remember that you have an expiration date and your life is measured in terms of years. So serve God now. Doesn't it say in Hebrews, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart? I believe God's got something for you today to hear from God. Perhaps it's reading the Bible, or perhaps the Holy Spirit is prompting you with Scripture. Perhaps it'll be in this message right now that God, the Holy Spirit, will tap you and say, hey, this is for you. I want you to, and it says, today if you'll hear his voice. You know, I'm just a voice. You know, John the Baptist said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm just a voice, right? But today, if you'll hear his voice, what does it say? Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart, but respond to God today. Why? Because your life is measured by God in briefness of your years. And so day by day is the way, because your life has an expiration date. It's measured in terms of years. Number two, your way is measured by God by the day. Your way, I'm talking about from here till you get to heaven, is measured by God by the day. And so think about that for a moment. Moses wrote under inspiration, so teach us to number our what? Days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You and I are supposed to number our days. Now, before we do that, we're also supposed to number our years. Amen? And I wonder if you know how many years God's Word says that we have since the fall and since the flood and now since after the flood. And how many years, average, on average, we can expect? 70 to 80 years. That's what Psalm 90 says. You've got 70 to 80 years. But it says, look at this, that as you get into that 70 to 80 years, you're going to get more if you have more strength. God gives you strength. But it's only about 70 to 80 years on the average. And not only that, but realize that as you get older, you lose those faculties, as we just said. You get into those evil days, and you get up into the 90s like my mother, and your time is limited. You got to think of your life in terms of 70 to 80 years. Can you do that? You know, can you plan out your life in those terms? Think about that for a moment. And apply your heart to wisdom. By doing that, God measures your life in terms of briefness of years, and then he measures it day by day. And Moses wrote, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now that tells me two things. Number one, you have to live your life one day at a time. And number two, you have to apply wisdom for that day. You say, what day? I'm talking about March the 5th, Wednesday, 2025. I am living today. I am living right now. And I want to be wise today. And you say, well, why is that so important? Because if you're not wise today, chances are you'll not be wise tomorrow and 10 years from now and 20 years from now. You waste a day. That is not a good thing. You can lose money. I lose things all the time. I am my mother's son. I lose things all the time. And it really increases my prayer life. It really does. I lost this thing, my checkbook. And I had to figure my bills because we got a lot of bills coming in now. So I lost my check. I said, Lord, where's my checkbook? And I'm like looking around and said, wait a minute, Lord, I've been through this. I don't have to worry. You've got it. I looked all over the house, every place. I said, Lord, but I'm not worried. I was doing other things as I was looking because I was not worried. I said, I'm not going to worry. I said, Lord, you just, in your time, you give me my checkbook. I know you got it. I knew he had it. And I came to the church to do church business, went in my office, and I picked up, I had a bunch of stuff on my desk. I picked it up, and there was other stuff under it, but on top of it was my checkbook. And I put that checkbook in my pocket. And I'm just saying that we need to realize that God wants us to live our life today, one day at a time. And what does that mean? Make sure that, you know, each day has a certain thing that I need to do and have God's priorities in that day. One thing I want to do every day is give the gospel. I want to read my Bible every day. I want to walk with God and pray to him every day. I want to yield my body to God and ask God that by the Holy Spirit I would do and say and think what Jesus were he walking in my shoes today. I want to take care of my body and do my exercises. You say, why do you want to do that? Because even as my wife was in the emergency room, I got down on the floor, my son was there, my daughter, and I started doing the back exercise. I do four sets of those. Because that lower back is important, Brother Joe. And it's so important. My wife's going to have to do therapy on that. And I want to do as good as I can. And you have certain priorities, and there's a science to every day, and you have your priorities. Are you doing God's priorities today? Have you done them today? If you do God's priorities for each day, you're going to have a blessed life at the end, because it says, number your days and apply your heart to wisdom. Listen, you can't afford to waste whole days. Now, I've wasted days. How many of you have wasted days of your life? Yeah. And usually it's because we get sidetracked in walking in darkness. We get out of the light. We get out of the game plan for our life. You need to plan your work and then work your plan. You need, Brother Heil said, you need to find out when you had a good day and repeat it. You need to find out when you had a good day and repeat. A good day to me is when I know I've done God's priorities. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is not how much money you got, not how much food you can eat. No, the most important thing is God's priorities. That's why Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you guys don't know about. I'm doing my Father's will. I've got my Father's priority. How do you do that? You do that one day at a time. You know, the Methodists used to be fundamentalists, you know. They don't have many fundamental Methodists. But the Methodists, they got their name because they had methods. And one of the methods they would have is they would take a part of the day and evaluate, how is my day going? You know, I was in Florida helping my wife. I did that. And I found out, even in Florida, there were times when part of my day was, and I said, I've gotten off track. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I remember doing that one day in Florida. I was in the hospital with my wife every day and spending time, and I was praying to God, and I said, Lord, I need to realize I've not been prepared to win souls. I need to. So I went out and took a walk at, it was about 77 degrees outside, you know. Every day was like that. I didn't get out much, but it was beautiful out there. And I was walking out there around the hospital grounds, and there I saw Fat. Fat was sitting on the bench. And my daughter said, you're just joking. You're talking about Fat. You're insulting a guy that was on the bench. No, his name was Fat, P-H-A-T, Fat Nguyen. He was a Vietnamese, you know, and he was sitting on the bench. And he was a radiologist, and he was just sitting there. And I just asked permission to sit down beside him. I sat down. I said, I know you're having your lunch. I don't want to interrupt you. Just want to ask you two questions, if I could, spiritual questions. And I asked him the two questions. And I said, now you can eat, and I'll share. And I shared with him the gospel. And he was ready to receive Christ. Born in Vietnam, came over here. I'm just saying, it's wonderful when you know you're doing what God wants you to do today. And I break my day into sections like the old Methodists used to do and evaluate. And you say, well, what do you do if you messed up? What do you do if you got off track? I go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll just tell God where I got off the track. I'll ask him to cleanse me and get me back on track. And I say, the devil may have gotten part of my day, but he's not going to get my whole day. And I don't want to lose time, because time, you could lose money. Like I just said, I lose things. I lose my checkbook. You can lose money. And let's say I went out and it's a windy day and I had about $100, $1 bills, and they're all scattered over and the wind's blowing and I'm trying to get them, you know. Have you ever done that, you know? Yeah, you're trying to get that money and you're trying to gather it up. But time, you can't get it back. Once you lose it, it's gone. And so I want to number my days, because God measures your life in terms of years. You get 70 to 80 good years. That's about it. I'm just telling you. And you have an expiration date, just like food. You have an expiration date. And so serve God now. And then how do you do that? Do it day by day. Do it day by day. I know when I go to Florida, Sunday, God wants me in church. Amen? And I know he wants me in a good church that believes the Bible, an independent fundamental Baptist church. And so I said to God, where do you want me to go? He said, drive an hour and a half south of here. Hour south of here. And I went to West Palm Beach, Florida, where I met my wife. And guess what? I went to the church where I met my wife. And I went in there, and as I'm going into church, I knew that's where God wanted me to be. Why? Sunday. You're in church on Sunday, right? And I'm not preaching, but I'm going to church, you know. And I'm walking into the church, and there's a guy there, and he greets me. And I said, something about that guy. And he had an accent. And I said, what do you got, a New York accent? He goes, no, I'm the Big Easy, not the Big Apple, the Big Easy. And I, oh, that voice, it came back to me. And then I looked at him, and I thought, that's John. I said, what's your name? He said, John. He gave me his name. I said, Calvary Baptist Church. Yeah. And I said, I'm Randy Bloom. I was a youth pastor there for a year and a half. I taught in the Christian school there, fourth grade. I had two of his sons that I took to church. And John and I, he lost his wife last year. And we just had a great time talking afterward, renewing that. And then guess what? A lady came in. Her name was Mary Smith, and she was in that church when I met my wife. And I met my wife so many years ago, and she was in that church. And Mary Smith, she was so thrilled because I said, I want to sit with you in church, Mary. And we sat, we shared a hymn book in church. And she said, you know what? People still remember the love story of you and your wife. It's just something in this church. And then the pastor, Pastor Hunter, he's preaching. He said, oh, we have Pastor Randy Bloom here. He's the guy that leads people to the Lord every day. He led somebody to the Lord that was Scotty, who's my sound man. His mother, he's not in the church now, but Scotty's mother, she was 100 years old, and Pastor Bloom led her to the Lord. It was just such a blessing. Because I knew what God wanted me to do Sunday. You know what? If you're going to live your life day by day, you have to have a game plan. Some of you just know you're supposed to be here Wednesday night, right? You just know it. And thank God for it. And I know it too. And you're supposed to be Sunday in church and so forth and so on. And so I'm just saying, every day you need to put God first. Not some person that's telling you this is... No, what does Jesus want you to do? I love Matt, but he doesn't have holes in his hands. He doesn't have a hole in his side. He has a hole in his head, but... I love Matt, but hey, you know what? I want to follow Jesus. And you say, well, how do you follow him? Well, I keep in mind I have an expiration date. And secondly, I keep in mind, though I try to keep that body in best shape I can, I keep in mind I have to live my life one day at a time. And if I get off the track, I need to get right with God right during that day. And if I'm robbing God of tithes and offerings, I hope you're not doing that, I get that right. If I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, wasting time, I got to get that right. In fact, this week, I had one day I didn't lead somebody to the Lord. One day. And you know why? I prayed and I said, I need to go back to the hospital. And somebody else was going to the hospital to be in my wife's room. And I kind of used that as an excuse. And it was getting late. But I knew if I went back there, I would get a chance to lead a nurse to the Lord. And I wasn't there. You know who one of the nurses is? Tracy Young, Sonny Young's, your uncle's daughter. And she's a nurse there. And I led her mother to the Lord. I led Tracy's mother. She's still alive. And I knew if I went back, but I said, it's getting late. I'm feeling tired. So I sat down and did something, just wasted my time. You say, oh, you need a rest, Pastor. Yeah, well, maybe. But I had all night to rest. I believe God wanted me there. I messed up. But I said, Lord, I messed up. I was wrong. Help me to get back on track. And every day I've been able to lead people to the Lord. I'm saying, evaluate your day and confess it and get it right. And live your life one day at a time. and you'll wind up in heaven, and you'll be so thankful you did. So God's going to measure your life in briefness of years. He wants you to know you're to live it one day at a time, and your way is measured by God to give you power every day, or grace every day. The song, Empower Me, love that song. And you need to remember that if you are called upon to die today, you'll have grace to die. But if you're not called upon to die, you're not going to have grace. And you know what the devil does? He gets you thinking ahead. Listen, he gets you thinking ahead, and you're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow that you don't live for God today, and you don't get grace from God to live for God today. Take Jose Valley as an example. I asked Jose to preach. He preached in church for the first time. Now, I said he's probably going to make some mistakes. He's going to do, you know, it's his first time. But he did such a great job. Now, do you think Jose was worried about preaching before he preached? Oh, yeah. He was thinking about it a lot. But when he got up there, it was all there for him. And I believe he's gifted of God, and we need to invest in men like that. They're gifted of God. So I'm just saying, Jesus put it this way. He said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that word, take no thought, that doesn't mean, Jose, don't prepare your sermon. I'm sure he did days ahead. He was working on it. But take no thought means don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We had a guy so worried one time, Pastor Ware had him preach for him, and he was so worried that he was just going over a sermon like, what am I going to say? You know, he was so worried. And Pastor Ware said, listen, it's too late for that right now. Just think about Jesus. Just set your mind on the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Just like when I lost my checkbook. Put it in the Lord's hand. Trust him. You don't have to worry. Jesus said you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about heaven. I've got that taken care of. If you've trusted me, I've got that place. You're saved. You don't have to worry about that. All you need to do is keep your eyes on Jesus. And he told that young man to do that. And that was such good counsel. I've thought about that many, many times. And so here's what he says. You are not to fret about not having grace to do it until the time comes to do it. Here's what Deuteronomy 33:25 says. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Last Wednesday, where was I? In Florida? I didn't have grace last Wednesday to do what I have to do this Wednesday. You won't have grace to do Sunday what you have to do Sunday until you get to Sunday. You can make preparations, but don't worry about it. Just walk with God today. And you'll be where you need to be tomorrow. And so here's the whole message tonight. Day by day is the way. Three things. Number one, you have an expiration date. Learn that your life on earth is so temporary. It goes about 70 to 80 years of real fruitful service. Now, I know there are some exceptions, but not for much longer. That's your expiration. And number two, you've got to live it day by day and be in the will of God each day so you can get there and follow the way that God has for you. And number three, God will give you grace when you need it in the day that you need it so that you can do that day what God wants you. And that's what grace is, beloved. Grace is the power and the ability that God gives you to do what you need to do today. That's why all day long during the day I'm saying, Lord, give me grace to do what you want me to do today. Give me the wisdom. Give me the strength. And Lord, I don't want you to come along with me and do what I want to do. I want you to lead me to do what you want me to do. And he'll show you. He'll help you. Day by day, giving you the strength, living it one day at a time, and realizing you have an expiration date. And so what does that do to me? It makes me say, I got to serve God now while I can, because there's coming that day when maybe I can't see. There's coming that day when I can't hear. I go, huh? There's coming that day I stand in the pulpit and, well, I hope I don't do what John R. Rice did, but he did it. A lot of old preachers, they wound up that way. So serve God now. Amen? All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.